Welcome to the July-August podcast. In this episode, we sit down with Jeff Tarsi, president of global retail at Nutrien. Jeff shares insights into the current state of the global fertilizer market, how it's affecting our wheat growers, and provides an update on Nutrien's latest policy initiatives. We wrap up with a federal policy update from Eric Steiner at OFW. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get started. Today, I'm joined by Jeff Tarsi, Executive Vice President and President of Global Retail at Nutrien. Jeff brings over 30 years of experience in the agriculture industry with deep experience in retail operations. He plays a critical role in overseeing Nutrien's global portfolio, working closely with regional leaders and prioritizing safety and performance. Jeff is focusing on delivering value to stakeholders around the world, and we're excited to have him here today to discuss some key issues impacting the ag sector, especially for our wheat growers. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing excellent, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to spend some time with you today.
Of course. So to start things off, can you give us a high-level overview of what Nutrien does and how it supports the wheat industry?
Yeah, sure. So Nutrien Ag Solutions is the, we call it the retail. Sometimes I refer to it as the downstream division of Nutrien Limited, which is the world's largest ag retailer or solution provider to over 600,000 customers globally. And our platform, Elizabeth, is very broad. We do a lot. And so just to name off some of the things that we do, we deliver full acre solutions. And this includes crop nutrients, obviously, crop protection products, seed, as well as agronomic services. We also have a proprietary products arm to our business, Loveland Products, Inc., which where we house a lot of our adjuvants, surfactants, off-patent crop protection products, nutritionals, and biologicals. We also have a proprietary arm to our seed business where we market under the brand of Proven Seed in Canada and Dyna-Gro Seed in the U.S. We also produce a very innovative portfolio of approximately 2,000 proprietary crop nutrient crop protection and seed products. And, you know, these proprietary products allow us to enhance crop production efficiency and profitability to the farmer. We are a very leading provider of plant nutritional products, including biostimulants. And, you know, with these, obviously, we're aiming to increase crop yields through enhanced nutrient efficiency and improve plant and soil health outcomes. And so, you know, we get up every day with the quest of serving our customer base. And how do we work with them to increase ROI? Obviously, during some difficult times now for agriculture. And so, you know, again, we sell directly to our growers. We have a very trusted network of crop consultants. We house these crop consultants in a network of roughly 2,000 locations in seven different countries. And, you know, again, we're providing farmers with a comprehensive portfolio of value-added agronomic products and services, you know, that include the whole gamut of what a producer would need on a day-to-day basis to service his farming operation. And, you know, when we look at our size and scale of our network, it provides us the reach and flexibility we need to reliably serve our customers throughout the growing season. I don't think that we could do all of these things without having a focus on our leading digital capabilities that obviously support data-driven insights so that we can more efficiently serve our farmer customers and at the same time offer competitive credit products that meet their crop input financing needs. Again, I think I started this off by saying that we do a lot, and we do, and that's not in a bragging way. That's in a way really to let a customers and Wheat Growers Association know that the extensive investment we have in our network, in our portfolio, and in our platform. And then last but not least, probably the most valuable asset we have are the 4,500 crop consultants that we use to support our customers in all the things we just talked about, you know, whether it's sitting down for crop planning, whether we're talking about seed selection, soil sampling, variable rate fertilizer applications, and crop monitors. And so again, I said a mouthful there, and but everything I said are things that we do not only on a daily basis, but multiple times a day across seven different countries. And Elizabeth, I get the absolute honor and pleasure of sitting on top of this massive organization and hopefully providing them with the leadership and guidance that we need to better assist our grower customers across the globe.
Well, thank you for going over that. Today, I really want to focus on one of your guys' big portfolios, which is fertilizer. As you know, fertilizer is a key input in wheat production. And recently, there's been a lot of uncertainty surrounding its availability and cost. Can you walk us through some of the current disruptions in the global fertilizer market, such as the recently announced tariffs on India or the conflicts in the Middle East, and how Nutrien is navigating these challenges?
Yeah, and look, it's a some days it can be a treacherous navigation. I don't think I've ever, I've been in this industry for over 40 years, and I don't think that I've ever seen a time where we had so many geopolitical risks that we have today, and so many factors that go into a lot of the things you just mentioned. I'll also tell you that, you know, I'm very grateful today to have the opportunity to share our insights, you know, that we have on the current market trends, and really to be able to discuss solutions to support U.S. wheat growers across these times. Nutrien as a whole, you know, today we remain very dedicated to ensuring wheat growers and farmers everywhere that they have the nutrients that they need to grow healthy and abundant crops. And we're here to support you and your association every step of the way. Now, getting into more of the details around some of the questions that you just asked is that, first of all, you know, we have to acknowledge that fertilizer is a very globally traded commodity. And as you mentioned, India, and India specifically is not a material exporter to the U.S. In the fertility space. But while India has little impact on U.S. fertilizer supplies, the U.S. still depends very heavily on imports overall. And so your question rightly brings up that increased global market uncertainty due to new tariffs can disrupt trade flows, even when supply isn't directly affected. And so the tariff increase is part of a broader diplomatic and trade dispute, you know, between the U.S. and India, and their consequences beyond fertilizer as it relates to this. We understand that our grower customer partners are monitoring this situation closely, as we do, even on an hourly basis. Now, for the second part of your question, you know, if I look at the Israel-Iran conflict that's caused some nitrogen plants in Iran to shut down, and it also has impacted nitrogen production in Egypt due to attacks and shutdown of natural gas infrastructure. The Strait of Hormuz, for instance, is very a really busy maritime route that often gets attention for oil and gas shipments. It's also an important global region for fertilizer exports. So when there's instability here, it can quickly drive up freight costs. It can quickly drive up insurance premiums and the chances of shipment delays. And, you know, just to give you a concrete example, Egypt and Iran together today make up about 20% of the world's urea exports each month. And so that's a very, very material number. Now, as a leading fertilizer wholesale company, which we have very direct connections to growers, we keep a close eye on market trends and policy updates through our government and external affairs team, who I know, Elizabeth, you guys work with very closely as well. And I truly appreciate Wheat Growers' strong partnership with this team, which is incredibly valuable to our entire organization. You know, farmer-focused groups like Wheat Growers working hand in hand with Nutrien can play a very vital role in guiding lawmakers to create policies that support and strengthen our domestic fertilizer industries. And these relationships are really so meaningful because they give lawmakers a complete understanding of the whole picture in rural America. And, you know, that's one of the reasons today, Elizabeth, that I wanted to join your podcast. It really is to be able to share also what step policymakers can take to strengthen our domestic industry. You know, like building fertilizer production facilities require a lot of upfront investment. And, you know, usually somewhere between $1 and $5 billion. And the processes from getting permits to beginning construction, sometimes that can take up to 10 to 15 years. And because of this long timeline, domestic producers and companies worldwide must think, you know, really about long-term factors that can determine whether these investments succeed or fail. And currently, due to the U.S. regulatory environment, only one nitrogen plant has been built this century. You know, if you think about that and let that soak in a minute, it's really amazing when you consider the dominant player we are in agriculture. So providing clear and stable regulations could be the most impactful way for policymakers to help stabilize fertilizer markets. And, you know, I've got a few of those if you'd like for me to share some of the things that I think can influence this and have an effect on that. You know, if we look at the two minerals, potash and phosphate, you know, both of those should be placed on the U.S. government's list of critical minerals. We continue with potash and nitrogen and the USMCA compliance, as the U.S. lacks significant potash deposits, so we will continue to import from Canada. Roughly today, if you look at potash, you know, 80 to 85% of the world's supply comes from Saskatchewan. Another thing is energy policies that support an abundant, safe, and affordable supply of natural gas. Permit reform is essential for mining. It's essential for construction of new production facilities and for our infrastructure. We also need more reliable rail service. We need to promote driver recruitment and retention for trucking, and we need investments in our water and roadway infrastructure. You know, lastly, as I go through this list, you know, Congress should enact the bipartisan TSP Access Act and the Plant Biostimulant Act. These laws could benefit our customers by providing greater access to expert advice for farmers on nutrient management and crop planning. And additionally, they would establish a standardized regulatory approval process for products that enhance nutrient uptake. Again, you know, I want to thank wheat growers for their advocacy and support for these efforts. You know, based on my understanding, Wheat Growers strongly supports most, if not all, of these initiatives that I just raised, and they've also raised these issues on Capitol Hill with the current administration. Growers are at the center, the very center of our policy priorities, and we appreciate the opportunity again to collaborate with wheat growers and others in promoting sound agricultural policy. So, a lot of things in play, Elizabeth. A lot of actions that we can take. And I can't stress this enough of what a joint effort it takes in order to gain success, in order to make people, you know, in Washington familiar with these items, and probably even more so the importance of these items to our infrastructure and to agriculture.
Well, we really appreciate your partnership as you guys continue to do the hard work of navigating a lot of these challenges. Given a lot of these issues that you brought up, what advice do you have for wheat growers? What steps should they be taking, to manage their risk and ensure their operations can stay on track?
Yeah, it's a great question. And again, the only way to tackle these things is again to work hand in hand. Look, we know that fertilizer costs are some of the most significant expenses on your farm. And with today's economic pressure, keeping your farm profitable is more important than ever. And I want growers to know you're not alone. Almost every major crop across the country is facing similar challenges. Here at Nutrien, we're committed to helping you maximize every dollar spent. And when I say that about you're not alone, I'm based in Memphis where I live. We have multiple, one thing unique about this area is we have multiple crops that we can grow on a given acre of land each year. But if I look today at every option that a grower has, there's just significant pressure, no matter what that crop is, from a return standpoint. And so, what I charge, with our team of 4,500 agronomists, I charge them every day to work closely with you and to align fertilizer investments with realistic yield goals. I encourage highly soil testing. It is a fantastic tool since it helps growers avoid over-application of nutrients that you don't actually need. And at the same time, practices like improving soil health and using precision technology can direct nutrients to where they'll make the biggest difference and where they'll pay off the most. And so a lot of this, we're going to tackle a lot of this, Elizabeth, by technology. The need we're past the need of being open to adapt to this technology very quickly. It's absolutely essential today so that we can be as efficient as possible, both in the solutions we're building for the growers and then what the growers are actually doing on their farms, to work through these times that we're in right now.
You named a lot of important issues that Nutrien is currently working on. Is there anything else currently Nutrien is working on that growers should have on their radar going into this next legislative session?
Yeah, I think there are multiple things we're working on, and especially from the agronomy side of things. And I would hope that at no point would I ever answer that question as, no, we don't have a lot we're working on, okay? Because that's the key to staying ahead in this thing. But if I look, we're working very hard around pest and drought resistant seeds that can help maximize crop yields. And if I look across the wheat belt, a lot of that wheat belt is in areas where we can experience a lot of dry weather on it. So I think these types of seed, drought resistant seed, pest resistant, will continue to have a lot of importance. Again, because of where we are in the cycle right now, we've spent a lot of effort in developing our financial services to help growers across Nutrien's products and services where they need them. And I think that could be one of the top two or three important things over the next couple of years is financial services. At the same time, we've invested very heavily and continue to develop our digital platforms, soil testing and other data technologies that measure the impacts of agricultural practice and inform customized recommendations for each grower. Our precision agriculture tools help improve yields and soil health and reduce nutrient loss to the environment. And I think that we're just on the edge of what you're going to see around those digital platforms and what we're going to see around artificial intelligence and those type things. And then we've invested about $500 million in our plant nutrition and biological platform within our proprietary products. And a lot of these products are used to enhance efficiency with fertilizer and also with an aim to provide environmental benefits as well. So we have a suite of comprehensive programs, including nutrients measurement and sustainable agri-product programs. And again, these establish baselines, identify opportunities for improvement, and connect growers to downstream value chain partners, you know, so that we can explore and scale initiatives that create value. So again, Elizabeth, a lot of things we're working on, these are going to continue to evolve. What we see today might blow your mind away 2 years from now, because that's how fast this technology is coming forward. You know, we are, and we don't believe in going out and just testing it right on the farm. We like to test it within our own organization, within our own network. We have, for instance, we have four innovation farms in the U.S., and we don't ever bring anything out to a grower before we actually test whether it's a technology, a new seed, a new product, a biological. We don't bring anything out to a grower till we take it to that innovation farm and tested the theory behind it, tested the practice behind it, and actually made sure that it's going to create value for our end user, the grower customer.
Today, we are joined once again by Eric Steiner from the OFW team to give us the latest policy update from Washington, D.C. Eric, as you know, there's always a lot happening in D.C. that impacts our growers, so let's jump right in. Last month, President Trump signed the Big Beautiful Bill into law. That's a major piece of legislation that includes several of NOG's key priorities. Can you walk us through what's in the bill and highlight any wins for wheat growers?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, when it comes to the Big Beautiful Bill, there is a lot to love for wheat growers. First, and I'll take a couple items here in turn. First, in taxes, you may recall it did make the 2017 tax cuts permanent. It also made equitable tax treatment for S-Corps, LLCs, and other business organizing structures. And regarding the estate tax, there's been now a permanent exemption for the first $15 million for individuals and $30 million for married couples. Next, on farm programs, it increased PLC, including an increase for reference prices for wheat by 15%, from $5.50 to $6.35, starting with this 2025 crop year. It also increased the AGI limits and increased marketing assistance loans and supplemental disaster assistance. The total net investment for farm programs was just shy of $50 billion over 10 years. In crop insurance, turning to that next, it invested in plus-ups for premium support, area-based crop insurance coverage and affordability, and offered some help for beginning farmers and ranchers. Total investment for crop insurance was just over $6 billion over 10 years. In conservation programs, it reallocated funding from the Inflation Reduction Act spending for fiscal year 25 and 26 and invested it into plus-ups for EQIP and CSP. It also added investments into the Voluntary Public Access and Habitat Incentive Program. Now, to round out the Big Beautiful Bill, when it comes to trade promotion, it added supplemental agricultural trade promotion programs starting in 2027 of about $268 million per year indexed to inflation for a total of just over $2 billion over 10 years. Now, this essentially doubles what's currently available in the MAP and FMD programs. It's called something different because of the Senate reconciliation budget rules. Won't go into all the details there, but what we would like to see is that this new investment, you know, gets rolled into MAP and FMD. And we may need to include this in the Skinny Farm Bill 2.0. We'll see.
Well, thank you for going over that. It's good to see that a lot of our key priorities were included in that. You know, obviously we were very much hoping for a full 5-year farm bill, but you know, we will continue to keep our folks updated as we are working on getting those priorities secured that weren't included in the Big Beautiful Bill. So switching gears a little bit, also last month, Secretary Rawlins announced a major restructuring for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This would involve relocating a large portion of USDA personnel from D.C. to 5 new regional offices. Can you tell us more about this plan and what's driving it?
Yeah, as of now, and this may or may not change over time, USDA has announced the closure of the USDA South Building here in D.C., the Ag Research Center in Beltsville, Maryland, and the closure of regional offices around the country. They'll establish or build out on five regional hubs in Raleigh, North Carolina, Indianapolis, Indiana, Kansas City, Missouri, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Salt Lake City, Utah. USDA has discussed the goals of saving costs of deferred maintenance, lowering the cost of living for employees, and making it easier to attract and retain new employees.
From your perspective, what impact could this USDA reorganization have on the wheat industry, specifically both in the short term and the long term?
Well, the bottom line here for reorganization is that we want to make sure it doesn't lead to service disruption. In the short term, there's a lot of USDA staff in DC and in the states who administer all the programs that impact wheat growers. And those employees don't really know where they'll be asked to relocate to yet, along with their families, and whether they'll still have a job. This uncertainty can understandably be quite stressful. In the long term, with wheat growers and other commodities working with USDA and Congress, hopefully any service disruptions will be temporary and any rough spots can be smoothed out. Bottom line here, though, we need everybody to be diligent. Let us know of problems as they arise, and we'll continue to work to try to help things get worked out. NOG has submitted comments to USDA on this, and we'll update as more information becomes available.
So as we head into the next congressional work period, what should we growers be watching out for, in terms of the policy front? And are there any key issues or legislative efforts that they should be aware of, or remain engaged in?
Yeah, there's a lot going on this fall. As you mentioned earlier, Elizabeth, the Skinny Farm Bill 2.0, there are items that didn't make it into the One Big Beautiful Bill due to the Senate rules on reconciliation. And some of those key priorities for NOG include the Farm Credit Title, food aid items, including moving Food for Peace from the State Department to USDA and requiring in-kind food aid donations overseas. Ensuring that trade promotion funding will be rolled into MAP and FMD programs mentioned earlier, the conservation program, including CRP, and increasing the authorization of appropriations for wheat and barley scab initiative research. And last but not least, the Ag Labeling Uniformity Act, requiring uniformity of pesticide labeling regulations. Next, on trade and tariffs. We're hopeful the president will be able to secure trade deals in the near term to avoid retaliatory tariffs on U.S. wheat value chain products, and to address concerns about tariffs on ag equipment and parts. Next, on MAHA, or Make America Healthy Again, we're a little concerned about how developments in MAHA could simultaneously curtail ag production and through required application of the dietary guidelines, which could make it more expensive to purchase food for the national school meals programs. Now, depending on how ultra-processed food is defined and whether there are any strict limitations, it could hurt several segments of the wheat value chain. There's a large coalition of ag groups urging MAHA to focus its forthcoming Make America Healthy Again report on goals to improve soil health and conservation practices instead of cracking down on pesticide use. And while we have seen the draft MAHA report that was given to the White House, and then that has showed promise regarding pesticides, it's still subject to change before it's finalized by the White House. And we remain concerned about how ultra-processed foods will fare for the wheat value chain, again, especially related to the upcoming dietary guidelines. And last but not least, we're keeping very close track on the U.S. Grain Standards Act reauthorization. The House Ag Committee held a hearing on June 26th and marked up on July 22nd. Very bipartisan. The lead co-sponsor is Ranking Member Craig from Minnesota. There were no amendments, and this is related to H.R. 4550, which was approved by voice vote and now reported to the full House for consideration. On the Senate side, Senate Ag Committee held a hearing on July 29th, but hasn't marked up yet. And while we don't see this as controversial, it does need to make its way through Congress and signed by the president by September 30th to avoid any disruptions.
Thanks for listening to the July-August podcast. Make sure to keep up with us on social media and our website at wheatworld.org.